And then we read that the Holy Spirit used this word. And then we learn that it is the family word. We, as the Lord's people, can refer to our Father with this title. Our text, the beginning text in Mark 14, finds Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. He has just gone a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed. And in verse 36, we have a further word in that prayer. And he said, Abba, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Let me say just a few words about this great title for our Heavenly Father, Abba. Roughly, historically, it was a Hebrew word. Because of the Babylonian captivity and the influence of the Aramaic language, it was basically, perhaps more strictly, an Aramaic term. Of course, the Aramaic language was sort of like the English language. There were three forms. There was the high-class Aramaic spoken in Jerusalem. Then there was the middle-class Aramaic spoken by the Samaritans. And then the Galilean tongue of the Aramaic language was rather rough and crude. They might be classified with the English language. There's the European English. And then there's the Ted Koppel English. What do you call that? American, I guess, very widely. And then there's Southern English. And that has to be classified as well, doesn't it? But may I say, though this word was historically a Hebrew term, and perhaps more strictly an Aramaic term, philosophically, it's an international title. Abba. It has been equated with the name Dada. Some of the old writers rendered it Papa or Papa. It is a very intimate form of addressing our God. And here in this text we have the pattern of the Savior. If Jesus can use this term, then every member of the family can use this term. Abba, Father. I want you to look at the second time this term is found in the New Testament. Turn with me, please, to Galatians chapter number 4. Galatians chapter number 4. We have noted this word, Abba, used in the pattern, the example of the Savior. I want you to notice, secondly, the usage of this title in the pursuit of the Spirit. Galatians 4, beginning with verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying. Who's doing the crying? The Spirit of His Son. The Holy Spirit crying, Abba, Father. The Lord Jesus used this title in addressing the Father. Now the blessed Holy Ghost in His people uses this endearing term, Abba, Abba, Dada. How precious, how close, how intimate the language of the Savior and of the blessed Holy Ghost. And I might remind you that the Holy Spirit is none other than the Spirit of Jesus. The late B.B. Caldwell used to say the reason he always used the title Holy Ghost instead of Holy Spirit was to remind himself that a ghost is the returned spirit of a dead person. And the Holy Ghost is none other than the returned spirit of not just a dead Christ, but a dead, buried, yea, and resurrected Christ. The Spirit working in the children of faith is not just an it. It is not just another influence. But the Holy Spirit is the very Spirit of Jesus. Jesus said, Abba, Abba, Father. And the Holy Ghost says, Abba, Abba, Father. The pattern of the Savior, the pursuit of the Spirit. I'd like to have you look at the third passage in Romans chapter number 8. Here we have the practice of the saints. Romans chapter 8, verse number 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. And a lot of folks who are more afraid of God than they are attached to God. I'm not talking about just sinners out there in the world. I'm talking about so-called believers who have never learned to enjoy their fatherly relationship with God. We're no longer in bondage and subject to fear, but he says, ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Abba, Father. This is the language of Jesus. This is the language of the Holy Ghost. And this is the language of God's children. Abba, Abba, Father. I'd like to say two or three things about this great title for our Heavenly Father in relationship to the practice and the prayers of the saints. First of all, I can't help but mention that this title, Abba, is the language of infancy. You don't have to have a college diploma to address your Heavenly Father. You do not have to be a noted scholar to converse with the Almighty. This is the language of infancy. Abba. Abba. You'll notice that it is combined of two letters, or made up of two letters. A, B, B, A. You don't even have to know your ABCs very good to use this title in addressing your Heavenly Father. Abba. Now they tell us that there are 44 sounds in the English language. Those who are students of phonics might be aware of that. And those sounds, of course, are used in combination of ways to sound out words. I've practiced this word, Abba, and tried to think it through. It's actually no word at all. You don't have to know language. You don't have to know English. You don't have to be developed mentally to use this title. It's like the language of a little baby. You ever been around a little baby and the father standing by and the baby's just saying all kinds of little gibberish, nothing discernible or comprehensible. You just couldn't comprehensible. You couldn't grasp what was being said. And then all of a sudden some little word would come out and someone would say often to daddy, "Did you hear that? He said, Dada." Well, often these kinds of words, which are breakdowns of words, literally, come from the mouth of a babe. But this is nothing more than an exhale and an inhale. Abba. Nothing profound. The most illiterate human being might utter such a sound as a baby. And I want to say spiritually, you don't have to be way on down the road in spiritual matters to understand your Heavenly Father has an endearing relationship with His children. Abba. Abba. The practice of the saints. Why, this is the language of infancy. If you've been saved just a few years, just a few months, a few weeks, a few days, a few hours, this is language for you. Somebody said, "That doesn't sound very intelligible." Abba. Abba. That sounds abstract. That sounds unusable. That sounds like it's beyond the normal. Oh, but I say this is the language of spiritual infancy. This is your birthright. Enjoying a relationship with the Heavenly Father. Abba. Abba. May I say this is not only the language of infancy, but this is the language of intimacy. How do you know that this is intimate terminology, Brother Tom? We know it because God the Son used. No one was more intimately acquainted and associated and attached to the Father than the Lord Jesus, the only begotten of the Father. He who has come from the bosom of the Father and has declared Him fully and manifested Him properly, he seems to stoop back to his childhood language and use this term in addressing the Father in this crisis hour of Gethsemane. It is a term of intimacy, closeness, communion, fellowship, and God the Son dared to use it, only recorded one time here in Mark's Gospel, but He dared to use it in conversing with His Father. You can almost see Him in the garden lifting up His head and saying, "Abba, Abba," the language of intimacy. Somebody said, "Well, how else do you know that this term, this title, Abba, is the language of intimacy?" Because the blessed Holy Ghost used this title when He addresses the Father. He cries in you and cries in me, cries through us, "Abba, Abba." He could use many titles and be correct, and certainly would be approved of heaven, the Father and the Son. But the Holy Ghost has been pleased to choose and use this title, Abba, Abba. That's not the language, perhaps, of a carpenter. That's not the language, perhaps, of a farmer. That's not the language, maybe, of a working man in Palestine. But the Lord Jesus, being the only begotten of the Father, used it. And the Holy Ghost, knowing the intimacy of the Godhead, used it. And how blessed you and I can use it in our relationship to God. I may have told this here before, some 6 years ago when I had a very bad car wreck. I began to realize for the first time that many people have the concept of God only as a judge. They do not know Him as a gentle, loving Father. Why, we could illustrate that here tonight. You let something tragic take place in your family, and one of the first thoughts that crosses people's mind is, I wonder what they did bad. Or a more sarcastic approach, I knew. I've been waiting for something like that. Now they'll believe me. Now the people will listen to what I'm saying about them. It's as though that any tragedy is an act of judgment. I received some cards, and I'm grateful for all the friends we have. And the older you get, the more you cherish the friends that God gives you. And we had cards and calls come in when we had the wreck. And I'll never forget a couple of cards that came in. Some of you who have traveled by plane have gone through the Atlanta airport, maybe, and heard the voice of the underground tram. When the tram stops for you to get on, that mechanical sound says, train is coming to a stop. Please stand back. Doors are opening. You get in it, and the voice again says, please stand in the center of the aisle. Doors are closing. It's so monotonous sounding and unsympathetic kind of voice, that mechanical sound. I opened up this card and I heard that kind of a voice as I read the note. I just had this car wreck now. I'm not in a service at this time. I'm trying to restore physically. And I get this card with no mercy in it at all. It says, dear Brother Tom, is God speaking? And then they sign their name. Real compassionate note. And I would in no way belittle at least their thoughtfulness. But I tell you, I was rejoicing in the mercies of God that I was even in the world. And had a ministry and had a life and a family to love and to enjoy. But there's a lot of Christians who know nothing of the fatherhood of God. They live distant lives from the Father's presence. The only time they enjoy the presence of God is when they feel that God has almost attacked them and moved upon them in such a mighty way they couldn't help but being blessed. And then for that brief moment, they seem to appreciate God in a different light. Otherwise, they stand a bit aloof and hesitant and reluctant to enjoy Him in His fatherhood role. Don't miss this. The Lord Jesus said, Abba, Father. The Holy Ghost says, Abba, Father. And every one of us who have been birthed into this family, the family of God, we have the birthrights to address our Father, not in distant terminology, but in intimate fellowship language. Abba, Abba, Father. Oh, this is the language of infancy. This is the language of intimacy. One of your children comes up tonight and calls me Daddy. I laugh about it. If a little child who is not yours comes up and calls you daddy or dada, you turn the child around and say, not me, son, not me. But if your own child, in a moment of love and affection, reaches up and gets a hold of your skin or your hair and says, dada, dada, you feel an intimacy there that cannot be expressed any other way. I want to say to you tonight, you have the right, I have the right as God's people in the circumstances and situations of life, from the inner being of our soul, to reach up and say to our God, Abba, Abba. Oh yes, this is the language of infancy. This is the language of intimacy. But now let me go back to the Garden of Gethsemane and draw some parallels. I'd like to say, because Christ prayed there, it is the language of entreaty. It is the language of intercession. It is the language of prayer. Let me mention several things that issue out of Christ's garden experience. First of all, it is the language of entreaty, because Christ did pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was not trying to bluff his disciples into a greater faithfulness. He was not trying to trick them into some kind of renewed appreciation for their master. But he was talking to the Father. In fact, several times in this wonderful 14th chapter of Mark, the Bible says that he prayed. He prayed. He prayed and spake the same words. And he prayed. Oh, this language, Abba, Abba, Father, is the language of prayer. And I confess to you, there are times when I do not know how to construct a prayer when I bow before God. I know there are prayers, little pieces of rhetoric and phraseology that we can all put together and piece together, and somebody say, wasn't that a beautiful prayer? But God's not looking for beautiful prayers. He's looking for desperate, believing prayers. Aren't you glad Simon Peter didn't try to pray a beautiful prayer when he was sinking out on the Sea of Galilee? He would have got to our most kind and gracious and benevolent Heavenly Father, and by the time he got to our most gracious and kind, it would have sounded like this: glub, 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 glub. God is not interested in pretty prayers. He's interested in desperate, dependent prayers. And here in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus prays nothing pretty, nothing beautiful, nothing that might be inscribed in some book or some pamphlet, but it reached the Father's heart. And may I say tonight, when you don't know how to pray, when words seem to fail you, and when your heart is of such burden and of such heaviness that you can't formulate a petition that the brethren would appreciate, don't forget, you've got a password into the presence of the Father. You can say, when you can't say anything else, you can say, Abba, Abba. I'm saying, this is the language of entreaty, yea, the entreaty of prayer. Notice furthermore, this is the entreaty of pressure. The word Gethsemane means olive press. The olive press was used, made of a crude rock hewn out, and another rock used as the pressure, the olive berry put in the press or the vat, and then the other rock opponent and crushed all of the juice out of the olive. And it was in that kind of circumstance that the Lord Jesus is praying in the garden. As the olive would go under the pressure of the stone of the meal, so Christ now is under the pressure of your sin and my sin as He looks at the will of God in the form of Calvary. And He cries out in pressure. Not words that were negative, not words that were reluctant, not words that pushed away from God's will, but words that drove Him right into the heart of God's will. In times of pressure, He cried, "Abba, Father. Abba, Father." Somebody said, "I'm under so much pressure." Isn't that the byword of our society? You go to the doctor with a toe ache, and he wants to know, "Have you been under a lot of pressure lately? Have you been under a lot of stress and strain?" That's the byword. Everybody's under pressure. You talk to somebody, "How you doing?" "Well, you know, other than all the pressure I'm under, I'm doing pretty good." Pressure, pressure, pressure. Somebody says, "I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm under so much pressure." I'd like to encourage you. There's a word that will help you in your pressure. You can reach up with a heart of entreaty to the throne of God. And you can cry, "Abba! Abba! Abba!" A word of entreaty in prayer. A word of entreaty in pressure. You may feel tonight like you're in one of God's olive presses. And you feel that everything is being crushed out of you. And all the spiritual vitality and sap and life is being smushed and crushed. And there's nothing, you feel like there's nothing left for you to do. But listen to the Savior. He says, "Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thou wilt. Not my will, but Thine be done." Notice furthermore, this language of entreaty is not only the entreaty of prayer, the entreaty under pressure, but it is the entreaty of pain. You know, I guess you have to reach a certain age before you begin to sympathize with people who have pain. But Gethsemane, without question, was an experience of excruciating pain. The Lord Jesus was under so much toil. The Bible says that He said to His disciples, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." He was in pain. Verse 33 tells us that He was sore. He was amazed. Sore amazed and very heavy. The word there means He was deeply weighed down. He is in pain in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating, as I mentioned, even as it were, great drops of blood in this hour of dilemma, in this hour of trial. And yet it was in this hour of pain that the Lord Jesus cried with entreaty, "Abba, Abba." It could be you're here tonight and you've gone through so much physical pain, as one man told me, that you have lost a sensitivity to people in your life. You become so conscious of what you're going through that you can't see what anybody else is going through. You're under so much ordeal and trouble and heaviness in your own physical frame that you have no sympathy with anybody else. I plead with you tonight, don't bear your pain all alone. Don't try to endure and come out bitter as so many have. But look to your point of relief. Look to your help. Our help cometh from the Lord. And here, Jesus, in this hour of prayer, in this hour of pressure, yea, in this hour of pain, we hear Him cry out, Abba, Abba. What father here tonight, upon hearing a child down the hall and with fever and in pain, saying down the hall, Daddy, Daddy, what father, what earthly father here tonight would not arise from the bed, no matter how fatigued he be, and slip down to that room, put a wet cloth upon the fevered brow of that child, and if necessary, stay there until the fever breaks and the child is smiling and enjoying life again. Now you know, dear friend, if you and I as earthly fathers would respond that way to our children here in this world, we have a heavenly Father, blessed be His name, who comes to the aid of His needy children. Oh yes, our Father which art in heaven, He comes to the cry, to the entreaty of a pained heart. As an 11-year-old boy, what was thought to be a brief stay in the hospital turned into be a 2-month ordeal. And day and night, my father and my mother were there to see that their son was not neglected and taken care of. And all through life, when I as a boy had a need and I was distressed, I didn't call for my principal. I didn't call for my neighbor. When I was in pain, I called for my father and my mother. And I want to say tonight, if you're sorely distressed within tonight, and your spirit seems to be enduring more than you can take, don't give up. Don't fall beneath the load. Don't give out and get out of the traces now. Cry out unto your heavenly Father, who sympathizes with the entreaty of His people. Abba, Abba. Some here may be going through more than physical pain. You may be going through mental anguish. Maybe you're going through emotional pain. Maybe because of something that's happened in the family. Maybe something that's happened in your wife's life, or your husband's life, or your parents' lives, or your children's lives. You just feel like your heart is going to break and burst within you. And you feel so painful and so hurt. I beg you tonight, you don't have to go on through life like that. We have a Heavenly Father who cares about His hurting people. And you can go to the throne of grace tonight and say to Him, Abba, Abba Father, Abba Father. I'd like to say fourthly, this language of entreaty not only came in the form of prayer, and in pressure, and in pain, but this language of entreaty came in preparation. You see, Gethsemane is not the end. There's a path that goes up the side of Calvary's Hill. There's a place called the place of a skull. There the Lord Jesus will encounter the wrath of God upon Him for your sin and my sin. Gethsemane seems to be a moment of preparation, a moment of encouragement that the Father is with Him, and the Father has designed this path, and the Father is over all. And in this hour of preparation, instead of Jesus saying, it's too much, I give up, I'm not going to do it. I refuse to go through with Calvary. That lot that you're sending me to die for is not worthy. Instead of seeing this and backing up and crawdadding, as it were, out of God's plan for the ages, the Lord Jesus finds Gethsemane as a stepping stone to Calvary, and he cries out victoriously, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. To Calvary I'll go. To the cross I'll bow. To the will of the Father I'll yield. Not my will, but thine be done." Abba. Abba. Somebody said, "But Brother Tom, I don't know if I can go through much more. I don't know if I can endure much more." Oh, dear friend, could it be that the pain, the agony, the turmoil, the hardship, the difficulty, the conflict that rages in your life tonight are nothing but preparations, stepping stones to a further level of divine plan? Oh, dear friend, don't back up now. Don't back out now. Don't throw in the towel now. The Father has something in mind. You go ahead and say with the Son, "Yea, it is written in the law, in the volume of the book, I come to do thy will." Oh my God, I delight to do thy will. I say to you, dear friend, Jesus cries, "Abba, Abba, Abba, Father," in an hour of preparation. I confess to you there are times when God's plan seems very fuzzy to me. It never has been obscure to Him, but it has been obscure and difficult for me at times. They taught me in Bible college, you'll do number one, number two, number three. You can know the will of God. And I did number one, number two, number three, and invented a number four, and tried a number five. Oh, dear friend, the will of God is not always easily discernible. It's not always something that you're consciously aware of. It may seem to evade you, but I promise you it's not evaded your Heavenly Father. Oh, that you might cry out tonight, "Abba, Abba, Father, I want to yield in your plan, whatever you got in mind. I want to take this stepping stone of grace." And then here, I've already emphasized this in a measure, but I'd like to summarize and underline it in a different form. Gethsemane was not only a place of prayer, Abba. It was not only a place of pressure, Abba. It was not only a place of pain, and he cried, Abba. It was not only a situation of preparation, a stepping stone in the furtherance of the divine plan. But don't forget, it was a place of perseverance. Jesus did not die in Gethsemane. Jesus did not relinquish and let go of all the Father's delight in Gethsemane. He persevered. He followed through. Yes, he's praying now, but in a little while he's going to say to his disciples, "Rise up, let us go now." He's going to persevere. How's he going to do it? In his entreaty of the Father. "Abba, Abba, Abba, Father." I say it is the language of infancy. It is the language of intimacy. It is the language of entreaty. Oh, he listens to the desperate cry of his little children. I read of a young lady who was orphaned in her childhood. In her adolescence, she went from one foster home to another, and in many ways neglected at their best. As she approached womanhood, feeling somewhat neglected and overlooked, she found herself walking the streets at night, having never had a family, looking in other people's windows, watching families get together around the supper table. She would watch and long to be able to have a family relationship. Came a time when she could go to another foster home. And in God's mercy, she came to a Christian family. And to her surprise, she was not given a bunch of rules and guidelines of what she couldn't do. But these Christians said to her, "We want you to feel just like you're our daughter. Don't call me Mr. So-and-so and my wife Mrs. So-and-so. I want you to call me Daddy. And I want you to call my wife Mama." And the longings of her heart were satisfied because now she can call someone Daddy and someone Mama. I'd like to say, dear friend, that was a time when you and I wandered in our sins. We saw others who said they were Christians, and we were interested in what they had, and at times we longed to know the fellowship that they knew with other Christians. But there came a time when we were adopted into the family of God. Our Heavenly Father would say to us tonight, "Don't just call me God. Don't just call me the good master up above. Don't just call me the Almighty. Call me Abba. Abba." That's our Heavenly Father's title. Oh, that God would help us in these hours of pain and pressure and preparation, in times of much needed prayer and perseverance. Oh, that God would help us latch hold of the family handle. Call Him Abba, Abba, Abba. Oh, just as a little child finds consolation and courage when speaking of that father or mother, so you can find strength and renewed faith to enjoy everything the Father has planned for your life. Would you stand with me?